For professors and scientists, a personal website is a big project that's well worth your time. It's the best way to manage your online presence long term. Your personal academic website can include a portfolio of pages that showcase your teaching, research, publications, speaking engagements, and service. I'm Jennifer Finalstein. Welcome to my blog, The Social Academic, now also a podcast and YouTube channel. A personal website can be life-changing for professors, grad students, and researchers like you. In this guide, I'm going to talk about 7 steps to a personal academic website. You can make your own personal academic website. You've got this. When you do, your website will help people explore your research, teaching, and the things that you care about. I'm excited for you, and this guide is here to help. Also, bookmark this, save it, download it, make sure that you can come back to it later. You may need to visit it again. So, creating a personal academic website is a long journey. It's not a 10-minute project like some articles claim. A website is typically a multi-day project, and it may take you months, and that's okay. I hope this guide helps you move forward efficiently, and following it will help you get your academic website from start to launch smoothly. So let's get started. Step one, create your content. The best way to start making your personal academic website is by planning the structure of your website. If you don't have an idea about what you want to share, you'll get stuck. So let's decide what to include on your professor website. So when planning your website, the structure and organization of your website determines the written visual and video content that you'll want to create. If you plan on sharing a lot of information, you can have more pages on your website. Your personal academic website might include things like an about page with your academic bio and headshot with a link to your CV, your research page, maybe talks about a current project and research outcomes, a teaching page that includes course descriptions or syllabi, maybe a teaching statement or philosophy, a publications page with abstracts or descriptions, publication links, a speaking engagements page, a contact page, links to your social media profiles, and if you're so inclined, a blog. If you want a simpler website, a smaller structure is recommended. An about page with your academic bio and headshot that links to your CV and links to your social media profiles. I mean, the simplest website structure is just one page, but it isn't right for everyone. This tends to work well for grad students and professors who want the easiest website to maintain. But the more you want to share, the more pages your site will need. So, if you're unsure about what to include on your personal website, let's talk. I help professors think through who they help and the real people who will visit their personal and research lab websites. I empower professors to have a strong online presence, and a personal website is the best way to do that. So I'm here to help you too if you want support. Once you've decided on a structure and what you want to include, write all your written content that you want to share for your website. If it's text and you want it on your website, write it down. Make a list of the pages that you need to write content for. A simple 3-page personal website might include an about page, a research page, and a publications page. Write the content for each page in a document to complete this step. You might decide to hire help from a website designer or developer. It's really helpful to have a document with that written content ready to share with them. And if you can get support with this project, I encourage it. If you're looking for help with your website, let's talk. I have amazing website development partners who can handle the technical side of launching your website. Most professors don't write for the web automatically. Academics like you may use complicated or dense sentences, jargon, or specialized terms, long paragraphs, no headings or a few headings for longer pieces of text. Each of these can be found in academic writing, but you should avoid them when writing for your professor website. I'm going to share with you best practices for writing for your personal website, and take that document that you've drafted and each time read through it to edit with these changes. So in your first read, can you simplify this sentence? For instance, if I make this sentence into two sentences, will it be easier for people to understand? Okay, second read. Is this word jargon? Is it a specialized term that people in my field know but other people don't? Is it a specialized term that people in my specialization know that other people may not? That word or term needs a short definition. How many sentences is this paragraph? Can I break it into shorter paragraphs to make it easier to read, especially on a mobile phone? Ooh, here's the last one. What heading will help someone find what they're looking for on this page? For instance, if I have a longer description of my research, what heading can I add to make this easier for someone who's skimming my page? Okay, let's talk photography and headshots. What images do you want to include on your website? At a minimum, I recommend these: cover photo, which is also sometimes called a splash image or a header photo. You also want a photo of you. If you like taking photos, you may already have one that works for you. Many people choose stock images for their cover photo, but for your headshot, you don't actually need to go out and do a professional photo shoot. If you have photos from your work, that's a good option. Selfies are a good option too. You just want your photo to be friendly, like of your smiling face. And I have an article about three ways to get new photos for your personal website on the Social Academic blog. Are photos required? No, but it really does help. If you're uncomfortable with photos, consider making an avatar instead. Whichever photos you choose, you need to have the rights or a license to share them online. And if you want your academic or scientist website to be super engaging, try adding a video too. All right. Once you've gathered or written all your content, you want to pick a domain name. You want to do this before choosing a website host because it's literally going to be the first thing that most of them ask you to do when you sign up. So your domain name is your main website URL or web address. For instance, the URL to this page is theacademicdesigner.com. That's my website. Your site title is what your website is called. And in my case, The Academic Designer, which is the name of my company. For a personal website, my top recommendation for choosing your website domain name and title is to use your full name. My personal website is jennifervanalstyne.com, VanAlstyne.com. Using your full name will help your page rank in Google and other search engines. After all, the keyword most people will use to find your website when searching is your name. An easy way to check if your domain name is in use is by typing it into your navigation search bar. If it's already taken, a website may show up and you may need to add a middle initial or a keyword to your domain name. An example of that is MatthewMPincus.com, or if I had needed to add a keyword to my personal website, it might be JenniferVanAlstynePoet.com. Okay, so step three is choosing a website host. Well, what website host is best for you is totally going to depend on your time, budget, and technical skills. So I wrote a full guide to choosing the best website host for your personal website for professors. It is on the Social Academic blog. If you can't find it, you know, just send me an email and I will send you that link, I promise. So step four is setting up your personal website. Once you've chosen a website host, it's time to set that website up. This is an exciting day because when you have that content written already, your website can come together quickly. Start by choosing a theme for your website. Most website hosts have themes or looks to choose from for the design of your website. When choosing a theme for your website, look for these three things. You want a website that's mobile responsive, which means that your website adapts from desktop to mobile screens well. You want a clean design with a top menu and social media menu. And you want something accessibility ready, which means that the theme has built-in features to help people with disabilities explore your website. Accessibility ready may be an option for you depending on your website host. So once you've chosen a theme for your website, you can usually pick things like font and color. For font, you want to choose a sans serif font. A sans serif font means that you want letters without those little feet on your body font. So no Times New Roman, but you can use a serif font like Times New Roman with the little feet on your headings font. In terms of color, you want something with high contrast for easy readability. So a dark text on a light background is preferred for accessibility. Once you've selected a theme, you're ready to place your content. And depending on how big your website is, you'll want to know how to do these things. Add a page, place text, insert a URL link, upload a photo, and make a header. You may also need to know how to add and edit these site-level items, a menu, social media links, and I used to recommend contact forms, but I actually no longer recommend contact forms as they don't always work across devices or across countries. Next, let's talk about titles, tags, and other metadata. When you upload photos and other media to your website, you need to add an information like the title of the photo. There are also other options to add information about your media like alt text, a written description of your photo. Providing alt text for your photos helps more people understand the photo that you're sharing, especially people who use screen readers to interact with your website. Alt text also helps Google's web crawlers better understand your website so that it shows up in relevant search results. When you upload photos or other media to your website, it's important to check that the metadata and alt text are descriptive. So write descriptive alt text for all the images on your website. And if you're on my website right now, the splash images of succulents, which is the header image on my website, the title of the photo is succulents. The name of the photo is succulents.jpg. The description of the photo is website header photo of many green Echeveria succulents, which is the type of succulent. I recommend you check out accessiblesocial.com for amazing tips for writing alt text for your photos. Step number five is to preview your website. After you've placed the writing and photos on your website, you want to preview your website and check your website for spelling, formatting, and readability. Preview your website on different screen types if you have the option, like desktop, mobile, and tablet. If you're able, try your website on different browsers like Chrome, Firefox, Microsoft Edge, and Safari. Ask your friends and family to read over your personal website for you. We often miss our own simple errors. You may learn if something is confusing. For instance, if your family notices a bit of jargon, a term that they don't understand about your research, How would you explain it to them in a phrase or sentence? You may also learn that something is hard to find. You'd be surprised how many personal websites I've come across where it's difficult to find the name of the person who it's about. Seriously, I even wrote an article about it for The Social Academic. Step number 6, we're getting to the end. Okay, this one's kind of a question. Is it time to take your website live? If you sell anything on your website, including consulting or editing services, you may be required by law to have a privacy policy and a terms and conditions page. Look to your country's regulations about this. You'll also need a privacy policy and terms page if you're using Google Analytics or other tracking tools. These typically are required by those policies. So don't take your website live until you have those things. If that's not the case for you, or if you've added those policies, it's time to take your website live. Go ahead and publish your website. Congratulations, you have a personal academic website ready to be shared with the world. Step number 7, share your website. Once your website is live, you need to share it with people. In the next few weeks, Google will crawl your website, unless you tell it not to, but don't do that. Then your website will start showing up when people Google your name. But Google and search engines shouldn't be the only way that people find your website. Announce your website on social media. Invite people to check it out. Update your social media profiles to include your website address. Add your new website address to your email signature. Share your website as a way for people to keep in touch with you after a talk or presentation. Update your bio to include your website. And please share your website with me. Send me a direct message on social media. I'd love to congratulate you personally on your website. Good luck with your website project. That's the whole process, step by step. Good luck setting up your website, and be sure to bookmark this, download the episode, whatever platform you're checking this out on, save it so you can come back and check out those steps again. Please, please, please share this guide to making your personal academic website with your friends and colleagues. Ask your university library or faculty development office to share it as a resource. This guide has helped professors and grad students around the world make their website a reality, and I hope it helps you too. If it does, send me a message to let me know. I would love that. You've got this. Make 2023 your year to launch your personal academic website. You'll be happy you did. I'm wishing you the best of luck with your website project. But if you feel like you can't do this alone, or you don't want to do it yourself, my name is Jennifer Van Alstyne. I've been helping professors make their personal websites since 2018, and I'm here to help you too. Let's chat about your personal website and online presence on a no-pressure Zoom call. I'm happy to help you in the right direction, even if it isn't working with me. Good luck with your website project. Next, get inspired for what to include on your website with these award winners from the 2022 Best Personal Academic Websites Contest. It's all on the Social Academic blog. Head over to theacademicdesigner.com and connect with me on social media at higheredpr.